Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Question Reality. My name is Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. For 9 years, we have been ranked the number one entertainment career advice internet radio show worldwide. Now, this show is for you if you are questioning your career reality by considering or currently pursuing a career in the entertainment industry. Now, the guest on our show will provide you with advice, tips, and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in a wide variety of show business jobs. Now, guests on this show include Emmy winners, Grammy winners, Tony Award winners, reality TV stars, producers, directors, casting directors, talent managers, agents, screenwriters, actors, voiceover actors, singers, songwriters, comedians, novelists, script supervisors, stunt people, SFX director. List goes on and on. And what's exciting is that in December, we are bringing on some entertainment lawyers from Beverly Hills, and they wrap some really top clients. So they are going to give you much needed advice. So hopefully your ass needs to hire an entertainment attorney eventually. If you're not, then if you're not thinking about it, you're not close. So you got to be thinking, save entertainment attorney. But what's special about this show is that all of our guests have been selected because they're at different stages of their careers, from obviously celebrity status to professional. And then once in a while, we'll have on a novice or a beginner. So that means that we will definitely have someone on the show who will be able to answer your show business questions. Now, if you missed any of our shows or you want to seek advice about a specific entertainment career, we have it listed on our archive page by the title. So for example, if you want to be a script supervisor, you go on the archive page and kind of look, and we have script supervisor, the name of the person, and then their website address. Go to the archive page. It's latalkradio.com and search for our show title, Question Reality, or my name, Priscilla Leona, and you can download and listen 24 hours a day. I am there for you 24 hours a day, just like Wolfman Jack was, just like Howard Stern. I'm there 24 hours you can have. But you got to download the mobile app. We have a really cool, newly designed mobile app. It is on the home page. I get so many emails. Where is it? I can't find it. It's gone. There's no... It's down on the right-hand side. Scroll. Now, all of the Question Reality shows are also available on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher.com under the podcast section. And finally, if you want to be a guest or refer someone to be on this show to promote themselves, their products, and help listeners with your sage career advice, we are booked for the year. You know, we're always booked 6 months to a year in advance. We are currently booking for January, February, March. So go to our website, which is the official website, not latalkradio.com. Go to questionrealityradioshow.com, questionrealityradioshow.com, and click the contact link to submit for consideration. Now, we have this guy back. You want to talk about being in not the cesspool, the sex pool. This is the sex pool king. He is the angry Viking and the sex pool king. His name is Eric Erickson. And yes, wow, yes, he gets it. Women throwing their undergarments at him left and right now in the studio. Well, not really, but they would if they could be here. He was on our show last year on October 23rd, and my cousin was here, Nikki, and we don't want to discuss, but everyone in here was like eyeing him up. We were trying to steal bits of his hair. So, Nikki, Eric's here. first. Too bad you're not here. Hey, Barbara. Well, when you come next time, yes, we're going to have him on again just so Barbara can look at this beast, this Viking beast, this sexy beast. Go to his website right now. It is theangryviking.com. Now, isn't that a title? I mean, that you know, in entertainment, you're always looking for something to make you stand out, something that's going to give you like that little extra edge, something that's going to go, let me check this guy out. So this was a very good choice, the Angry Viking. And he didn't just choose it because he thought, hey, you know, I did porn in the valley 20 years ago and that was my title. He actually is a descendant of a Viking blood. So we'll talk about that a little later. He also has a website, ValhallaProds.com, for production company. As you know, Valhalla, I think, is the heaven. Where you aspire up to, you aspire to get to, I would imagine. And then also the website is the Kondelik Brothers, K-O-N-D-E-L-I-K brothers.com. So you can be checking that out because I'm going on the advertisements. You know, I got to feed my damn fat ass with Snickers and some Kentucky Fried Chicken. So I got to do some ads now, but they're fun. Okay. Number one, I am very excited though. Seriously, as you know, we had one of my very, very, very good friends on the show a couple weeks ago named Ernest Thomas. He has a book signing tour next Saturday, September the 9th from 12 to 3 at the Writers Guild Theater in Beverly Hills. And as you know, Ernest is a celebrity actor. He was the star of What's Happening, and he was Mr. Omar and Everybody Hates Chris. His latest book is called From Raj to Riches, Overcoming Life Through Faith. And it's a motivational autobiography about how to overcome show business and life through faith. Now, you want to go to this book signing because you are going to see some celebrities. I'm telling you, he's very good friends, as you can obviously tell from his status with all of the A-listers. So Chris Rock might pop up, Terry Crews might pop up. I can't say for sure, but it's a very good possibility. So lots of celebs. So buy your book now at Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble or wherever books are sold, and then have it with you. I think you can also buy it there. I'm like 99.9% sure. You can also check out the website From Raj to Riches, thebook.com. And not to plug my website design company, but I did design that website. Just pass that on. So it's going to be a great turnout. So you're going to see a lot of celebs. So if you're a fan, come out. I mean, it's a great opportunity to meet. People go to these, what are they called when you go? These cons where you go and you buy pictures of celebrities. You know, like Comic-Con, all these. Well, you normally have to pay like $100 for a picture of Ernest, so you'll be getting it free. So, next Sunday, and I'm going to be there. So, what more do you want? My God. Now, I also want to promote Joe Estevez. Oh, I love Joe Estevez. I love this man. He is a professional actor, brother Martin Sheen. He's the uncle of Emilio Estevez, uncle of Charlie Sheen. He will be starring opposite William Shatner and Christopher Lloyd in the romantic comedy Senior Moment. So go to the website, seniormomentmovie.com. He was on with Ernest a couple weeks ago, and we had so much fun doing the interview. So Joe is going to come back. He actually is finishing up another film. And so Senior Moment, I think it's coming out in January. I'm not sure, they're in post-production, but seniormomentmovie.com. Lovely man. Lastly, if you are a fan of the show, which you should be, you listen to a very, you know, normally I'm all about light and fun, and I just like to joke and have a good time, and everything is positive. But as you know, if you listened to the show last week, it was heavy because we had on the casting community action Nation Committee members and actors and artists. We had Gary Zuckerbrod, who's the veteran casting director. Everybody in the biz, if you don't know who he is, you shouldn't be in pursuing acting. You need to do biz first. Lovely man. We had the gorgeous, lovely Alan Hooper. He's casting for Modern Family right now. They actually just got picked out for 2 more years. Yay, because it's one of my favorite shows. Oh, this man is so lovely. He actually brought me a Star Trek book, right? Mm-hmm. And he signed it. I made him sign it. He's like, why? I'm not in Star Trek. I'm like, just sign it, please, Alan. And then we had the lovely Asia Rae Coleman. She's an actress and an author. And David H. Lawrence, the 17th, he is just a phenomenal actor. If you watch Heroes, he was the puppet master on Heroes. A lovely man. He actually created this app that you can use for actors to help memorize if you have problems memorizing things like me. I can only do one word. A line is like pushing it. It's like really pushing it. I expect double pay for like a whole line. But but he actually has an app. It's called Actors Resource. It's at the App Store. And lastly, we had this lovely man. Oh, I love this guy. His name is Jason Kennedy. He is a casting director. It's Susan Bluestein Kennedy. He casts for NCIS. And, oh gosh, he's a lovely man. I love Jason Kennedy. And he called, he actually reminded, I don't even act anymore. I mean, if I act, I only like to do background again. I'm just here for the looks, and one word. But he was so nice. He actually called me into the office to read a role for NCIS on Friday. So thank you, Jason. You weren't there, but thank you so much. Okay. Lastly, we are back to the one. Now, let me read this guy's bio. Eric Erickson. I mean, just saying his name, and you just have many visions. Actually, if you get the photo and the name, you can enhance the words and visions that you have with the name Eric Erickson. Many things you can do with this name. The Angry Viking. He is an actor, obviously. He is a writer. He is a troublemaker. And he is here promoting his latest film called Truth. And Eric Erickson graduated from the University of Southern California School of Theater, and he spent his early acting years performing in theaters across the country in roles ranging from Hamlet and Mercutio to Conrad Birdie and Charlie Chaplin. And he's been seen in the feature film Damn Sharks, which I want to see that because I'm not seen it, but I have a feeling it's kind of Sharknado related. And I'm obsessed with the Sharknado thing. And then he was in a movie that I was one of the producers on, Last Call at Murray's, a fantastic movie. Carbon Dating, I was one of the producers on that. Lovely little series. And the hit television show, which is Albert's favorite, The Last Ship, among many other projects. And Eric gained the name. Everybody is probably going, why the Angry Viking? So he actually gained the name The Angry Viking while he was doing stand-up comedy. And I want to know how that happened. So we got to find that out. We got to know why. Because comedy, you're thinking laugh, laugh, laugh. But Angry Viking, what did he do? And he's performed at the world-famous Comedy Store, Garrett Morris's Downtown Comedy Club, and with the Rebels of Comedy. He even spent some time as the MC, Master of Ceremonies, in one of Wrigleyville's largest sports bars. And you can tell I was turning the page. I tried to stretch it out, but I just couldn't. So sports bars, working a crowd of thousands of clubs and fans every night. And as I said earlier, seriously, truly, Eric is a direct descendant of, and God knows I can't pronounce this, but I'm going to give it a whirl, the Yingling Viking Dynasty.
You nailed it.
Woo! Give him some applause. Yes. Yingling,
yingling, yingling. Well done.
Yingling, yingling. I love that. Yingling. Oh, that sounds like some really good Chinese tea, actually. Yingling Viking Dynasty. So, Eric. Eric, thank you for being back on the show.
Happy, it's so fun to be back.
How do you actually get here without the paparazzi stalking you?
Back door of the garage.
Back door. We snuck them in the back door. We always got to do it. Oh my gosh. So Eric, it's always fun. He's a very... I mean, personal opinion, he is obviously very handsome. He's very intense. But and I've met many A-list actors in my lifetime. And what I find that Eric has in common with, like, Johnny Depp, I've met, of course, and Keanu Reeves, and David Schwimmer, and Ben Stiller, and all the other people I know. What he has in common with them is that he has... amazing direct eye contact. And I can't tell you how important this is, not only as a person, because you need to be focusing on what the other person is talking about, but it also means that he's present, he's aware, and that's important to be a good actor, but it's also important when you are in networking situations and marketing situations, because when you go a lot of times to these Hollywood parties, have you ever run across the person who you're talking to and all of a sudden they're looking all around the room for who the next best thing? There's got to be somebody better than you to talk to, or, oh, do I know him? That is not a good thing. I mean, if you talk to casting directors or producers and of substance and quality and the A-list, they're going to tell you that they look for actors who can actually focus on a conversation. So this is one of the things that that I really, really like about Eric, is that he actually does have focus. So that tells me that he has amazing ability as an actor to be an A-list celebrity, among many other things. So you were here to discuss your new feature film titled Truth, which you're about to begin shooting on September the 12th. And I understand that this is your debut screenwriting experience.
It is.
What? It is.
In full disclosure, first of all, it's hard to look at you now because of what you said. So the whole eye contact thing is just out the window.
I'll just cross my...
That's one of the greatest intros I think I've ever had.
And so, but it's very true.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
How many times?
It's true. You're absolutely right.
You go to these parties, you know what it's like. And it's so tacky.
Yeah.
And it's ill-mannered.
And you feel very small.
Yes.
And you feel... And it's sad because it perpetuates your self-esteem. And if you have issues already... I mean, some of these people, to use an old term that people of our age remember, get off the bus.
That's right.
In L.A., they're already scared. They're already trying to figure out who they are. So something like that happens, it could just destroy them.
It really does.
So,
and especially a person of substance like an A-list casting director.
Absolutely.
Or, you know, a celebrity. And you obviously have come across celebrities that are of substance. Mm-hmm. And am I correct? They
you
have
are absolutely
amazing
correct.
Eye contact. So that's a little tip.
And it can be dangerous, too, because just like... anywhere in our world, we have good people, we have bad people.
Yeah.
And there are some people, you have that eye contact. It's a superpower.
Yeah,
if I can talk to somebody and I can keep your attention, not only can I make you a better person by talking to you, but I can also take advantage of you
mesmerizing and hypnotizing. Eric's over here giving me the snake eye, mesmerizing, hypnotizing. But it's true. But, you know, it should inspire you to want to actually stay focused and present and in the conversation.
It's a tennis match. If you can keep that intensity talking to that person, you are going to have an incredible experience, and who knows what you're going to take away from it and what they're going to think of you. You know,
and
be in the moment.
That's
what they teach us.
It's a good skill for you to practice. If you're a beginning actor, it's a good skill for you to practice. Because what if you're ever cast in theater? There is a fourth wall that you cannot break, and you, God knows what happens in theater. You know you've done theater. There are people who cough and burp and belch.
Oh, I've had people talk to me, scream at me, get up on stage.
Probably try to tear all your clothes off, grab some items that don't belong to
them. I had these wild nuns at a Hamlet performance, actually.
What did they try to grab?
They didn't grab. They were just very into the performance. So it was. But you're absolutely right. Especially when you're doing comedy.
Yeah.
You know, you're doing stand-up comedy. You got to be in the moment. You got to be engaging. There's always that person who thinks they're funnier than you.
Yes.
So you've got to be able to talk to them and talk them down or play it out or whatever. You got to be in the moment. And it's not any different than acting than it is talking to someone at a party. Like you said, or you and I right now, I'm staring you right in the eye and we're engaging.
Yeah.
And you know I'm talking to you, not to the guy in the corner taking my photo.
Video and photos. But what is that called when you're doing comedy? Heckler. Yeah.
I've had some bad ones.
Yeah. So you need that eye contact. So if you're just starting out as a beginning actor, and maybe you can't afford classes right now, which is so expensive. But you know what? Try to do other things. Try to do what we're talking about, which is maintain eye contact. And you would be surprised at how many people will appreciate that, respect you for doing that. And remember, like my grandmother said, you want to definitely be kind to the people going up the ladder because you run right into them on your way down. So Focus. Now, tell what I wanted to know about your screenwriting debut is why, because obviously you're a very successful actor, and I would think you'd booked all the time. So screenwriting takes a long time. Why did you feel like you were inspired to write this film, feature film?
This one, Truth, started out as a writing exercise for myself. It was like trying to crack that idea, because it's a very unique piece. It's single location, real time, two actors. That's it.
Real quick, for people who don't know that, because I got some emails when I announced that, they wanted to know, what does that mean when you say real time, two people, real time? They didn't understand that.
It's like a play. It's really, that's how we've described to some people. It's like we're shooting a play. I mean, the story is I play a war criminal, an accused war criminal.
But it's not ad lib, so don't.
No.
I think your name is Susan from please forgive me. I think Pittsburgh. And you said, does that mean it's improv? No, that's not what he's talking about.
No, it's heavily scripted. Like, we have to adhere to every single line because we don't have cuts. We're not going to be able to go back and do reshoots. It's literally what we're doing. So if the movie's 90 minutes long,
No, we can't.
What we get is what we get.
What?
Because literally we're building we have a special set that's being built for us at Dual Visions. It's an interrogation cell. Once we're done, it'll get taken down. If you look at me right now, I have a full beard that's taken me about 5 months to grow, and it's got to go the day after we're done shooting. And Rachel Ehlig, who's in the film with us, she's going on another thing. We can do ADR. We can come in and do polish, you know. But no, what we shoot is what we got. So every line we have is like, literally, we go through, we have to highlight that line, because that line could refer to something at the end of the movie. And if we didn't get that line, it won't make sense at the end of the movie what we were talking about. So it's like a play. It's very tightly woven is the way to explain it.
What else that we may know of has been done like that? Because I've never heard of this before.
There's a famous movie called Closetland that came out in the 90s. It's like that. There's a great movie with Tommy Lee Jones that he directed, Tommy Lee Jones and Samuel Jackson, called The Sunset Limited, that all takes place in an apartment. It's very theatrical. It's like a play. Death and the Maiden is one we refer to sometimes. It's a little like that if you saw the film with Sigourney Weaver.
Okay.
You know, so it's very... real time means real time. If you're seeing a 90-minute movie, it's 90 minutes worth of action. There's no cut. There's no going to anything else.
And
you are watching
you
90 minutes
that?
Of your life.
Why did you choose to do it that way?
It was part of cracking the code or cracking the way to do it. This is a big thing right now. You're seeing a lot of movies that are going down to these single locations. The Wall just came out, if anybody saw that, with John Cena and Aaron. I can never remember his name. Aaron Taylor from Kick-Ass. And it all takes place in this little area outside a wall in Iraq, and it's a very tight little story. And that's what people are looking for. And that's what Amazon's looking for, that. And if you're a filmmaker out there right now, and you can figure out a way to do a single location film that is new and exciting, there are people lining up to talk to you. Because I really feel that we did something that no one else has ever done. And I know we haven't shot yet, but I'm so excited about getting started on this, because what we created is magical. And everybody who reads it, it's 99% of the people who read it, who get to read it, either they're blown away by it and how intense it was and how are you going to do this, and then there's a 1% like, it'll never work.
Which I would think that the budget. Let's talk about the budget. I am a person who's more impressed with you doing a fantastic, great film, amazing, for $500 rather than you having a budget of $50 million. Anybody can do a great film with $50 million. Try doing a great film for $500. And the reason I decided that I wanted to start my production company and do short films is because I saw this little short by this amazing director in England. His name is Dom Bridges, and the short is called Bitch. And I'm like, what? Well, first of all, as a female, you go, I don't know if I'm gonna like that. But, you know, I'm open-minded. I thought I would check it out. I could not believe, Eric, how amazing this little short was. I think it's maybe 5 minutes. And he did it on a budget of $500. And it is so... And the plot is amazing and the twist. And this was years ago. I don't know, maybe 10 years ago he did it. But still, that is the only short that I can think of that was so impressive. And I thought, $500, now that's a gifted person. So you did this on what's called a micro budget film for under $30. And
$30,000.
Did I say $30?
If I did this on $30, I should be running Paramount by Monday.
Yes, you should. Sorry, that's $30,000. Yes.
No, we did it.
$30,000. SAG rules and by the book.
Damn, Skippy.
If you told people that you could do that, honestly, people would say that it was probably going to be a piece of shit, a crappy movie, and there's no way you could do it just following the SAG rules alone, because normally with a budget of $30,000, that would be a non-union production. So for Eric to be able to do that, that is absolutely amazing.
SAG has been wonderful too.
I have to admit
the first thing is when we sent in our first paperwork with the initial budget, they basically thought we left a zero off.
Yeah.
And we're like, no,
a feature film,
right? And they were like, what? And so they at the beginning they were very trying to figure out what we were doing, if we were trying to pull something, if we were trying, you know.
Yeah.
And but once my producing partner Ariel Braxton, who is, can I swear on the show?
I forgot. Oh, I love swearing.
She's a fucking rock star.
Oh, yeah.
She is one of the greatest producers I've ever worked with. She's a wonderful actress. She's just all around. She got nominated for an Emmy recently. She sold her last two films. I mean, she's amazing. I could not have asked for a better producer partner. And when I told her about the project, she's jumped on board. So she's been working with SAG. And once they realized what we were doing and how we were doing it, and then the fact that we wanted to follow the rules, they were so wonderful. And they've been wonderful to this moment and going into production, helping us, and everything got cleared. And Ariel tells me that our contact person, I haven't personally spoken to her, but the contact person has just been wonderful and asking, you know, how we're doing and if it's coming together. And it really comes down to, I mean, I love my union. I'm happy. They do wonderful things for me. But I'm not, you know, I don't go out on the lines and I don't wave the flag and I don't, you know, do any of that. It's just not my thing. You know, more power to them. But man, this has really shown me that they want to work with you. And I think the biggest deal is you get these filmmakers out there who don't want to follow the rules, or they feel that SAG's going to try and screw them, or they're going to try and do something so they can't make their movie. And it's like, no, just work with them. They don't think what we, like I said, like they thought that we missed a zero when people are like, so I think they automatically assume it can't be done. So I have to try to find another way, because we're all told that is in Hollywood, you know, fake it till you make it, break the rules until you get to the top. So they think that that's the way to break the rules. And I hear so many stories. I heard one yesterday about a new friend of mine whose film, they're in arbitration with SAG now because they tried to break the rules. She didn't do it. She actually, to her credit, she fought the producer and said, you need to follow these. And he was like, ah, fuck you. And she finally went, I can't argue with it anymore. And SAG found out and they shut it down, and they're in trouble. I mean, and it's costing them a lot of money because they didn't sit down and just ask questions and try and do it the right way.
Lazy. So now for this micro budget, because everybody's probably very excited about your $30,000 micro budget and how you were able to follow SAG rules, what rules would they have for a micro budget film that you feel were so easy to follow that people with a bigger budget would not be able to follow.
The reason that our... I have to preface it with, our movie is very different. Like I told you, it's single location and it's two actors.
Yeah.
So we're not dealing with a cast of 14.
So it's not going to be a whole bunch of rules for you to follow in the first place.
Well, we still have to follow the same rules, but the amount of stuff that we have to put in is different. So, for example, for those of you who are interested in making a low-budget film, SAG has special rules about payroll. One of the rules is you have to put up a bond for your actors to make sure they get paid. So if you have a cast of 10 actors and you're hiring them for 2 weeks, you don't just have to pay their payroll. You got to take the exact same amount and mail a cashier's check to SAG headquarters for them to hold until the show, until they clear your production. And I've worked on shows, movies, where there was a violation, a simple little violation. I believe it was a meal penalty that didn't get paid, and SAG had to step in, and they put the entire production on hold, and they hold that bond until they figure out what happened. So it's for the actor's protection.
Right.
But for us, to we have a seven-day shooting schedule. So we have two actors for 7 days. The payroll's not that big.
Yeah.
So for us to come up with that bond, it isn't a big deal. But if you have a cast of 14 people or something, that's a big deal. So that's one of the little hurdles that you have to get past. And that's why this project is so unique. And that's how we wanted to do it, because of the nature of the movie. It worked for us.
And you'll get credible actors who are looking at the breakdown on Actors Access or wherever you choose.
Oh, we had some amazing actresses who... Here's my story.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm engaging with my eyes, ladies and gentlemen, so she's listening. Rachel Ehlig.
Yes.
is our star, is our female lead. And she was in Last Call of Murray's with me.
Right.
And I did a book cover with her, and we've been friends
what
for years.
She was the
secretary that was with the boss.
The older man.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Got
so
it.
We didn't get to have a lot of interaction on that movie. It was sad, but we've worked together on a lot of projects. So we had chemistry. So I was first telling her about this project, and I sent her the script, and I'm like, "What do you think? Would you be interested in this?" And I didn't even know if we were going to make it or whatever was going to happen. And I sent it to her, and I get this email back from her, and it just says, "Yes, yes, 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 yes." I think there were 13 of them.
Wow!
And it was just like, and so we sat down, and she just loved it. So we went through the process, and one thing that I've learned is you have to be collaborative. You have to give and take. You have to pick your battles. That's just part, because I'm also an executive producer, and so you get pulled in different directions. So as we're moving through production, they're like, "Well, let's see." I love Rachel. I think she can nail it. I think her acting is amazing. I think she's great. And people are like, "Okay, but we got to see other people." And I'm like, "All right, that's fine." And we saw, we got thousands of submissions. And we finally cut it down to like 20 or 24, like 2 dozen people. They sent in tapes. And we cut it down to 5, including Rachel.
Now, speaking as, let's go off, because you have such a sharp mind, you can go off topic and come back.
I'm sorry.
People, no, I want you to. No, I want you to, because I want you to stay where you were, but answer this question.
Okay.
Because I get a lot of actors asking, I need you to wear your executive producer hat now.
Yes.
The actors say, do you really look at every single casting submission when they submit?
I held many hats, and casting was one of them.
Yeah.
Because I knew what I was looking for. I knew the there were certain things we needed, because this is a 90-minute movie. It's a play.
So when you say we need a good actress, though,
I was like 4,000 submissions, something like that.
How do you do it? What is the first thing you look at?
First thing is the look.
Okay.
The first thing. And I'm going to throw something out right now that we're going to come back to for the entire time I'm here. Perception.
Yeah.
It is amazing what I have learned about perception on this film, because I would get submissions, and here's my advice for the day. And I'm an actor, too, so this is a lesson I've learned.
Right.
Don't assume you're perfect for a role. Mm. Don't send me an email that says I'm perfect for this, because you have no idea what I'm looking for.
Right.
We needed extras on our film, and our film needed rebel soldiers. So I got all these submissions of people going, "I'm perfect for your role."
Oh.
And they go, "I have a SWAT jacket. I have this. I have that." And I'm like, okay, one, you have no idea what we're doing. I go, two, actually, we're basing our rebels on the revolutionary soldiers of the 1980s in Central America. So what you think is perfect is not.
Right.
So right there, it's like you've already dug a little hole for yourself. So never assume.
Mm-hmm.
Never
don't
assume
use
perception.
Those words in those comments when you're submitting. I'm perfect for it. Never do that.
No. Just and
that
that's,
turns people off.
Yeah.
It really
so
does.
So the first thing to go back to wrap that up is look. And then experience was number two. We needed, I wanted theater back, or I needed, you needed to know what you were doing. And I got a lot of submissions from, I'm sure they're very, very talented individuals who just didn't have the chops. Mm-hmm. And there's just, and there's a, and that's a sad fact about our industry, that a lot of our actors and actresses don't get a chance to earn those chops because LA isn't a theater town. Mm-hmm. So if you do theater here, a lot of times it's just a showcase.
Right.
Or it's a play that doesn't have any depth, so you don't really get to learn how to act. I was very lucky that I went to a conservatory and I went and I was doing plays every day for year in, year out, and in summer stock. So that was drilled into me.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, while you may be a wonderful actress in this case, you just don't have the chops to pull what we need out of you. So unfortunately, you know, they would, that culled it down a little bit more. And then another one is, if I asked for a tape, send me a tape.
Right.
I mean, there were so many actors. I'm like, look, I need to see something before I'm going to call you in because we've got so many.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, I don't have any video. And I'm like, you need to get some.
Right.
And then here's another pet peeve, as long as I'm on my soapbox.
I love this.
All right.
I love Eric Erickson.
I am so... Can I'm going to...
Tell it. Give it.
All right.
Give
if, you're, if you are religious or if you like don't like swearing, turn your radio down.
I'm atheist.
I am so fucking sick of looking at motherfucking tapes that don't have dialogue. I am so fucking sick of actors who submit this stuff and then they put like a pop song over the entire thing. And I'm like, I don't care what you look like. I want to know if you can act. I want to know if you can emote. I want to know if you can relate.
Mm.
Or to make it worse, I was getting tapes. It was like a 4-minute tape. And the first 60 seconds is a song. And I'm like, if I haven't figured something out in the first 30 seconds, I'm sorry. I've got another 3,000 people to go through.
Oh, my God, Eric.
You know, so.
I am just so happy you said that because I feel the same way. Because I'm a screener also for the Burbank Film Festival. And I'm also a judge for NSEM, which is another film festival. And people submit their films and they have a girl walking with wind blowing through her hair like it's a damn Tawny Katam video from Whitesnake, right? And they're like, oh, and she's floating and God knows what she's doing. So it looks like it's a porn. So then I already go next. But then it's hard because I'm a Scorpio, my sun, my ascendant is Virgo, so I cannot, in good conscience, not watch the whole thing all the way through because I'm a perfectionist and I just try to give everybody just due. So I will watch that damn Tawny Katan White Snake video and then I'll find out, oh my God, it turns out to be a really great little short. And I'm like, why did they do that? So please, as Eric said, don't do any MTV music video with no dialogue. And then they feel like they have to put the title. Now, it's okay to put the title really fast, right? But don't do all the credits in the beginning.
You've only got so much time.
You only have it 30 seconds. And as Eric was talking about your demo reel, you know, 30 seconds, you're lucky, but a minute, no more.
Yeah.
No more.
And it's a learning curve. Like, I didn't even realize until last year that suddenly you're not supposed to slate at the beginning of your audition tape.
Mm.
I learned that too, and I've been in the business how many years?
Yeah.
And suddenly you're not supposed to do that anymore. No one told me.
They changed.
Until my management told
me.
I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Now I know I learned something.
Yeah.
Yay.
So would you, when you're saying submit, is this, you're talking separately? Because if you're posting this on Actors Access, your demo reel should already be on there. So when they submit, do you look at the pictures and then you go to their video?
Well, we actually didn't. We didn't go through Actors Access. We went through LA Casting.
Okay.
And there's a reason.
Why?
I'll explain. That's a good question.
Oh, that's a good one.
Here's why.
Ooh.
If you are doing a SAG film, mm-hmm. which we were, but we didn't have our paperwork through yet. And that's one of those catch-22s with working with a union and working is like you have to have paper A done before you can get paper B, but you can't get paper A until you get paper C. Well, once you get paper C, you can get D and E, but then you can't get A. So it's like this catch 22 a lot of times. So you can't, I wasn't able to put a casting call on breakdowns as a SAG project until I got my SAG paperwork back. But we had a time crunch. We had to get the casting out there. So we went with LA Casting, which is more of a commercial, you know, kind of thing. Now, we had also approached several, there were several named celebrities that we did approach, and we talked to a few management companies, and they were interested, but then they saw they said the same thing. They're like, is there a zero missing from this budget? And we talked to a couple very, very cool people who were very interested, but they were like, look, I can't, not on this. And I get that. But so that's why we went through LA Casting. And that definitely did affect the pool that we drew from.
Mm.
But we ended up going with Rachel anyway, because she was the best.
Right.
She walked. And
so
that's
are you saying LA Casting doesn't have as great of a acting
reach?
Pool?
It doesn't have as great of a broad of a reach. Mm. Because if I put something in breakdowns, it's going to not only get seen by every actor, like those of us who get up after 10 o'clock every morning and jump on their website because they don't put any postings up until after 10.
Right.
Little hint for you, everybody there, don't check Actors Access before 10 a.m. That would also have gotten seen by managers, and that would have gotten seen by, like, you know, creative artists or,
right,
you know, CAA or William Morris or whatever. William Morris Endeavor would have seen that and said, oh, maybe our client would be interested in that. So, yeah, we would have gotten a bigger thing. But when you're doing a film of this size, you make concessions. Mm-hmm. And that's a concession we had to make, you know. And luckily it worked out for us, because when we got down to our final five, we had five amazing actresses. Rachel was one of them. And we had one that was a SAG Award winner. We had a couple other. We had just very, very talented ones.
Now, but, you had contacted me and other people because I guess you were having trouble finding the extras.
Mm-hmm.
Was that because they didn't have a good selection on LA Casting or?
That's another issue you run into with low budget filmmaking.
Yeah.
There's just an actual SAG issue with that. You can't. I couldn't hire a SAG actor without having to. The budget's only so big.
Yeah.
So as going into it, you think, oh, they're very lenient about this. I can just hire a couple extras. We'll throw them a few bones. They don't have to be union. Da 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 da. And then as we started going through the process as executive producer, my knowledge base has gone through the roof of how the industry works. I've learned by trial and error. And I learned you have to pay them just like everybody else.
Yeah.
So and you don't. And here's another thing.
You couldn't do the non-union like you want.
Sorry?
You couldn't do the non-union.
No, I still would have had to pay them the exact same amount that I make and that Rachel makes. And on top of that, for those of you who are getting ready to do film and make a SAG film, remember we talked about the bond?
Right.
That ain't your only expense, brothers and sisters. You've got a pension you got to pay it's either 16 or 17%. Mm. You have to go through a legitimate payroll service. That costs money. You have to pay certain fees. There's a check fee for every check you cut. So there's all these fees that come up. So we started looking at the extras, and what we learned is you can put non-actors in the role.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the idea. So ours was written in a way where all the rebel soldiers, the rebels that guard this jail, all have masks. And I based that on, I'm going to butcher the name, the Zapistas. It's in my notes. The Mexican revolutionaries who wear the masks in the breakaway states. And it worked for us. So we're able to use non-actors in those roles. So it's not a simple process. But if you have another producer like Ariel, who again is a fucking rock star, then you learn these things, and then you're like, okay, that's how you do it, and you don't break any rules,
and
it's great.
Eric, so again, future actors who want to be filmmakers and want to do their own thing, this is called show business. So you really cannot avoid knowing about the business, not only the business that you have to take care of as an actor, but also the business of making your own, if you're going to pioneer your own way. So it's like You know, you have to focus on that. So learn some business. Now, so a lot of naysayers, you proved them wrong. It's a unique piece, obviously, because it's two people. And it created some interesting challenges, obviously, for the actors and crew. Preparation, rehearsal. I see something about weight loss. What did you, because you're a prisoner and you're obviously very fit. You had to lose weight. You have to pull a Matthew McConaughey is what you have
I'm
to
doing do. The best I can. I wrote it. I definitely wrote some things in there that made some excuses for why I'm a little more cut than I should be. He worked on a farm.
It takes a long time. I mean,
it
Matthew
did.
McConaughey took forever to do his role.
Yeah, and that's it's dangerous because, like, I mean, if you start looking into it, I mean, Tom Hanks has diabetes now because of all the weight losses he did.
That's right.
Matt Damon's got kidney damage from what he did. I'm telling you,
method acting will kill your ass.
It will. I mean, massive weight losses over a quick amount of time can do a lot of damage. So what I'm doing now is I think I'm not keeping track. I'm probably about between 15 and 20 pounds I've lost.
Okay.
And then there's tricks like drinking water and don't have carbs and whatever. So when I go to shoot, I'll look a little like less impressive. But it's been a lot of preparation and mental. I mean, the stuff that I've had to watch and read to prep to play a potential war criminal.
Mm.
I mean, it's been mind opening.
What was your go-to film for that?
I didn't really have a go-to film for that because I didn't want to base it on that. I did a lot of reading. I read this great book about like why the Germans allowed the Holocaust to happen. And that was a very interesting approach because you got to get inside these people's heads for something like this and go, well, why would they do this? Or how would they allow something to happen? You know, and once you get into the script, which I know you've read part of it, it's, you know, and you've only read the first act, it's an onion. And it's like we pull off one piece and you're like, oh, crap, he did that too? And you pull that off and it's like, oh, that's why he did that, because of this. So it's not just this straightforward story of he's a bad man. And we that's one of our main questions is, you know, is he a bad man or is he an evil man?
Yeah.
Because there's a difference.
Because when the beginning of the script, and again, I only read like the...
I only gave you the first act.
You gave me to 38 pages. So I was reading, and as soon as she pulled out, like she had a whole bunch of tapes, cassette tapes, I'm like, what period is this? And obviously it had to be before a certain time. And I was just intrigued because I was thinking, what? How are they? Because period pieces are so expensive. And then I thought, but that's brilliant to just do the cassette tape. So I was thinking, because I'm more of a producer, I was thinking budget. And I was thinking, oh, that's so great that he wrote that in there. And I love how he did this. Because, you know, one of the things that you look for when you are a producer, executive producer, or the money person is you're thinking, as you gotta write. If you have a low budget, you gotta write things that are gonna fit in the budget. So when I saw that she had the tapes and I'm like, oh my God, he's gonna actually pull this off.
I had to fight for that.
Yeah.
People like we talked to a lot of people and as we were going through it, and one of the first things I ran into every time was I wanna get rid of the cassette tapes and I wanna bring in a DVD player and a TV. And my first reaction is no, obviously you didn't read the script.
Yeah.
Because it wouldn't work.
No.
And we talked to other people and they're like, okay, well, we want to set some scenes outside the room. We want to go do here. And I'm like, why? I'm like, that's the idea is we are locked in that room.
Right.
And the Condolix, which was the website that you read at the top, they run Dual Visions, which is a soundstage in Canoga Park. And they produced Damn Sharks. They directed Damn Sharks with me. And I've worked with them on a bunch of projects. I love the guys. They're awesome.
Please give me a copy. Where? I could not find it. I went on Amazon.
I will give you one of my personal copies.
Please give me. Okay.
So one of the things they were so excited about is the fact that it does take place in one location.
Right.
And they're going to be able to say, we filmed an entire feature film on our stage in one location. I mean, and that's huge. And to be able to do that, this is a movie that should not exist.
Yeah.
That's what I tell people. It should not exist. And people read the script and they're like, this shouldn't work.
Right.
But it does.
But I think it does because of obviously the subject matter, but because the two of you are stuck at that damn table, the intensity and the buildup and the dialogue just creates so much tension and anxiety and stress. It's like, how can you not be able to give the performance that you possibly have
We do get up from the table.
Yeah.
I will give you a hint.
I only got 38 pages.
But I gave you a hell of a cliffhanger where I cut you off.
You did. I'm like, what? Why did you do this to me? Oh my gosh. So what do you feel, that gong means we're running out of time. So what do you feel you want the people to know? Who is this audience? What is the audience for truth? Who is going to love this audience?
I think this is a great situation where I think it's across the board, and I'll keep this quick because that clock is going fast.
I know.
Everybody who reads it has a different response, and people always say, or people that talk to us are like, it's so topical.
Yeah.
Which is funny for me because it's not. Because for me, it's about the two people, as the writer and the actor and the producer. It's about it's a dance between these two people.
Yeah.
It's a game. It's a chess game.
So it's definitely a drama. It's definitely a thriller. I only got 38 pages.
It gets darker, I'll tell you that.
I feel like a little chemistry going on, but I'm not going to say anything. I feel like it would appeal to people who are into military movies. I feel like, obviously, it would appeal to people who like Law and Order drama, because she's a lawyer, and, you know, he's a prisoner of war. So I feel it's got a massive audience.
And it's such a strong female role for Rachel to play.
Yeah.
And Rachel's gonna nail it. Yeah. I mean, I've worked with her so many times, and she's working so hard in prep, and we've had meetings and, you know, going through things. But it's a chance for her. I mean, me too. I'm so excited about the part.
Yeah.
But for both of us to have a chance to dig into something. When is the last time in a film that actors had a chance to dig into something that is so differently that's layered?
So what's gonna happen at the end?
It gets dark. I'm going to tell you. I mean,
much
darker. It gets very, very dark, intense. It's and things come out you never expected.
Oh.
I mean, it's a page turner as a script.
Is there any S&M? Damn.
It's not S&M, but there's definitely torture. There is.
Ooh, I like that.
And
I want to see Eric torture someone.
Well, here's the awkward point. Here's the awkward thing. If you follow me on Instagram, which y'all should, if you follow me on Instagram, I have a lot of cat fans. I call them my crazy cat lady army.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why, because I have cats and I post the photos and they, but then I post a picture of me from a calendar right next to it, so they're all like, oh. But when they found out I was doing this film, one of the first questions was, are you going to be shirtless?
Well, obviously, we got to find a way. I hope after page 38, you found a way to get it.
I go shirtless on page 39.
Oh, my God.
And I didn't give you the script right before it.
Look what he did. 38, and I didn't get to that. I couldn't. Damn.
But that's a little weird because of the subject matter. But at the same time, they will get to see me shirtless for it.
There you go. Now, see, that alone is right. Okay, what are we going to... You're going to shoot on the 12th. When's it going to be done? What do you estimate?
We shoot on the 12th. Our hope is to have a working cut by AFM. And then that's a whole show in itself, is going to AFM and selling your stuff.
Yeah. Are you going to have it ready by then? It's November.
We plan to have a couple scenes, a trailer, stuff to show. We're definitely not going to have a finished cut. But part of that is, if you have a distributor, you don't want to always have a finished cut because they may come in with some money and they may... I mean, that's a whole business...
That's a whole show in itself. We got to bring Eric back for that distribution show.
Yeah, I'll come back after AFM.
Yeah, and would you?
20 pounds heavier.
Yes, 20 pounds heavier. And then we can find out what happened, because that whole distribution thing. But you're going to do the festival circuit.
We will, yeah. And that depends on distribution.
Submit to Burbank. Submit to NSC.
But I mean, we're hoping, we're hearing, like, we've talked to some people already, some distributors, and they're like, we are very curious about how you're going to pull this off. So please call us.
Right.
Which is a great feeling, because it's like, you're on to something. And in this town, like we talked about at the beginning with the getting off the bus and everything, if you can have something that gets you excited and then you get that the response from people and you know you're on the right track, it just ups your energy by countless amounts, your creative energy. So, I mean, look at me.
Yeah.
I'm like sitting here like moving
around. We are always like that, Eric. You're intense. Well, I am excited. Please check it out. Does it have a website? Because I'm only going the
Find us on Facebook. Start on Facebook. Truth the Film.
Truth the Film.
The Film, yeah.
Truth the Film, or go to the Angry Viking. I imagine you got tons of stuff about it on there.
Yeah.
And you definitely have to friend them, follow them on Instagram. Along with the cat pictures, I think he throws in some Calvin Klein underwear pictures once in a while when he gets drunk. You never know. I don't know. But he's a lovely, lovely person.
I actually have a calendar coming out next month, too.
Stop it! Oh, no! See, he got me all excited. My cousin is like, what? Wow. Well, we are going to have Eric back, so hopefully we can get him to come back and talk about his distribution. And the truth is that this movie is going to be fantastic. Eric Erickson's in it, and Rachel Ilig. So it's going to be fantastic. Thank you, Mr. Aaron, for
Thank
coming.
You.
Say goodbye to your fans.
Bye, everybody. Thank you. And it's been a rough couple months, those of you who know, and you've been watching, and as we go through production, and thank every one of you who's been sending me emails and, oh my God, texts, and I don't know where you got my number. But
I don't even have it.
But I'm getting, every day I get a message from someone, and everyone is so supportive, and I'm not an A-list actor. I'm not a B-list actor. I D-minus at best at this point. But I have some of the greatest, I've always wanted to say this, I have some of the greatest fans in the world.
Yes.
That just felt
That's
so cool to say.
That's all you need. That's all you need to get you through the night. All right, sweeties. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Remember, October the 8th, Eric's actually going to be back. He's co-hosting with me because we're going to have John Blythe Barrymore on, the scion of Lionel Barrymore, Ethel Barrymore, Drew Barrymore's half-brother, and Eric's going to co-host. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? Oh my God, so exciting. October the 8th, Eric will be back, so we'll swing something in about the shoot on September the 12th. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Say bye, Eric.
Bye, bye. Everyone. Thank you.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.